Hello, and welcome to this location guide from the History of Yugoslav Football podcast. Looking this time at the western side of Croatia, down the coast from Rijeka all the way down to Split and Dubrovnik. The west of Croatia is a nice place to cover on here, as it's somewhere many people will have been to on holiday, on account of its combination of nice scenery, such as Plitvice Lakes, temperate weather that attracts sunseekers to the likes of Zadar, popular cultural highlights like Dubrovnik, and historical locations such as Pula. Warm, coastal, scenic, historical, and cheap. If you know someone who's been to Croatia, it's likely that some of the places mentioned here will be where they went. As if to point this out really obviously, this region also arguably possesses one of the most dramatic stadiums in Europe, NK Imotski's Gospin Dolac. Built in a natural gap in the local topography, it is surrounded by cliffs perched above the town's Blue Lake, overlooked by a fortress that dates back to the 9th century. The area itself is what's known as a karst, part of ancient cave formations. And the lake itself is not a proper lake as such, rather it's a giant sinkhole which tends to be filled by precipitation and can actually completely empty. Perhaps unsurprisingly, given the geological description I've just given, Gospin Dolac took absolutely ages to build. The nature of the land is that what remains of the karst tends to be exceptionally solid. The stadium itself took 13 years from drawing board to completion, with the ground having to be built up to provide the flat surface to create the pitch, in what was essentially the lip of a sinkhole. 30 metres of material had to be laid under what the ground now to build it up to become the football stadium. As such a unique stadium, and one recognised as a must visit by multiple media outlets, it's also a stadium that attracts architects with plans to update the ground, something that may come in the future. But Gospin Dolac is hardly the only Instagrammable stadium in the region. Quite literally on the coast is Trigir's Igraliste Batharia. Unlike Imotski, who have their castle over the ground, Trigir have their castle as part of the ground. Trigir itself is a tiny island sat between the mainland and a much larger island, and as time has gone on, Trigir the settlement has expanded to be what part of one continuous place from Okrik Gornji in the south and much of the coast and the mainland to the north. The historic city of Trigir, however, dates back to around the 13th century and is actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The island itself features two of the key buildings that earned this: the Cathedral of St. Lawrence, dating to 1213, and the 15th century Camerlengo, which actually comprises the corner of the pitch at the Batteria, with the opposite end of the pitch backing onto an observation tower built at around the same time. And along the side of the pitch is a Napoleonic monument, the Mamontov Gloriet. While the ground itself isn't much to talk about, HNK Trigir have been in financial trouble for a long time and have never really had much in the way of success, with 8th in the Croatian second tier being the side's peak, what surrounds the ground is hard to match anywhere in football. The third major ground of ridiculous beauty that people will have heard of is, of course, Rijeka's Kantrida. But before we touch on that, we'll take a look at a couple of other smaller grounds that are similar to Trigir in their coastal outlook, specifically those on islands in the Adriatic. NK Vrab's Igralište Blato literally sits on the docks of the island, something shared by NK Hvar, although both are similar to Trigir in that the clubs are so small, the ground, as it is a pitch with a very minimal structure around it. More notable at NK Uskok, who may be in the local leagues now, but similarly to Imotski, reached as high in the second tier in the not-too-distant past. Uskok's Isagrada is based in the town of Kliš, an important mountain pass in past wars located just to the northwest of Split, and the club name Ustgog comes from local guerrilla warriors, whom it's probably best to consider as the predecessors of the Hajduk bandits whom the Split Club are named after. Next to the fortress of Klis, the Tridava Klis sits aground in a scenic location that would be notable even if it didn't have a fortress that dates back over 2 millennia next door. That fortress has, at times, served as the seat of Croatian royalty, the home of one of the few locations where Mongol hordes were actually defeated, the site of a 2-decade-long on-off siege from the Ottomans, along with its more recent fame as the location of the fictional city of Meereen in the TV show Game of Thrones. But it's up to the north we go now, and to Rijeka, and to the former and future home of the city's main side, Kantrida. At the moment, the club play at Rujevica, which is part of the club's training complex, and, for a temporary stadium, even had to be expanded to allow Europa League group games to be played there. But, whether at Kantrida or Rujevica, the national side are unbeaten at either ground. Kantrida, the apparently permanent home of the club, is built in a disused quarry and, as such, is surrounded on two sides by a cliff and, on the other two, by the Adriatic coast. Since 2015, the stadium itself has been out of use by Rijeka while being used by smaller clubs, awaiting being rebuilt from the ground up. The first ground in the location was built by HSK Victoria Susak, now a suburb of Rijeka, but in 1911, a separate settlement. The result was that, after World War I, Victoria were unable to access the stadium as the new border to Italy ran between Rijeka and Susak. So in 1925, US Fiumana moved in and played in the Italian leagues, with the stadium becoming not the Kantrida, but the Borgo Marina. After World War II, it then became part of NK Kvarna, the club which became NK Rijeka, and with the stadium being used on and off until becoming the permanent home of the club in the mid-1950s. After being expanded to 25,000 later that decade, the ground had to be reduced to under 11,000 for safety reasons in 1999, which forced the need to redevelop the site. Reconstruction of the site has been much delayed. Although the design and plan was first unveiled in 2014, it took 5 years from then to get the funding and construction needs in place, and to this point there is still little progress towards the new ground actually getting built. But no roundup of this region would be complete without a focus on Split and the grounds of Hajduk. The first is of course the Stari Plac, still used by Split's rugby club over 40 years since Hajduk departed the stadium. Originally built in 1911 on the site of a former military training ground, it was originally at a right angle to the position it is now, until a fire burnt down the stand in the 1920s, and the pitch was realigned to fit the new stands. The stadium was used for the last time by the football club in 1979, but for the last time by the Torcida in 2009. Who got a big screen set up at the old stadium and packed the stands to watch a Hajduk home game there in protest at the club. While the fans then were at Stari Plac, Hajduk were at their stadium, Poljud. The huge bowl was originally built to host the Mediterranean Games in 1979, starting off with a 55,000 capacity, going to its current capacity of just over 34,000 once it became all-seater in the 90s. Poljud was initially seen as cursed. Hajduk's results dropped off once at the new stadium. Part of this was natural. Hajduk's 1970s were exceptional, so the 80s would always be a bit of a letdown, even if their performances in Europe were still good. The second element blamed was that while Stari Plac was a proper football stadium, Poljud had an athletics track around it, which made for less of an atmosphere. Domestic results dropped off with no titles won until after independence, and that first decade at Poljud was perhaps notable more for the negative things that happened on the pitch from the stands. High Luxor again have to be moved to Osijek after a fan ran on during a European match with Spurs and ripped the head from a cockerel on the pitch. Hajduk would be banned from Europe for a time after crowd trouble, and in the run-up to war, a game against Partizan would have to be abandoned after nationalist crowd trouble. As the history of the club itself has gone on, Poljud has become perhaps the busiest stadium in the nation, as the fans have become ever more involved in the actual running of the club. Around a quarter of the club is owned by the NAS Hajduk membership scheme, with over 20,000 fans providing annual fees to the club from fan clubs around the planet. Split represents the last southern heartland of the game in Croatia. While, in terms of major settlements, Dubrovnik lies further south, the region has never hosted a top-flight club, with the largest club being Gorsk Dubrovnik, currently in the third tier. So, in addition to Croatia being a quite lovely holiday destination thanks to its beaches, climate, islands and history, the west of the nation contains a wide variety of stadiums in stunning locales, from teams at the peak of Croatian football to some truly spectacular sites far lower down in the ladder that are destinations in their own right. Thank you for listening. Get on to your travel agent, and I will catch you next time.